Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of The Spread presented by the Red Light Sports Network. I am your host, J.A., the managing director and co-founder of Cover That Spread. Be sure to check out our other videos and podcasts on the redlightsportsnetwork.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Million Dollar Ramble and find out what you can do to help put an end to domestic abuse. On today's show, I am going to be breaking down the NBA playoffs games, and we've got three of them on the slate tonight. We've got a full list of MLB games. We also are going to do a little bit of breakdown of some of Catracho's soccer plays, and we are also going to get on some early Kentucky Derby action. So we've got a lot to go over. Catracho is in the house with me. How's it going, man?
It's going great. Looking forward to another show, breaking down the NBA playoffs. And, of course, going over my soccer picks for today and this weekend.
So, want to kick it off? Actually, you know what? Let's go over, let's get some baseball plays in. Only because we've got, what are we looking at? About 30 minutes until first pitch. So, let's throw out these MLB plays for starters. First one, I've got 10 units on the Phillies, minus 128. Cole Hamels is going against the Marlins here. I like Philadelphia to get it done at home. The next play, another 10-unit play, Toronto, minus 109. This line has actually moved since this morning. Baltimore is now favored on the road, but you can still get Toronto for about even money right now, and I think 10 units. I really like Toronto in this game. And then finally, the last MLB play of the evening, Mets hosting the Braves. That is a 7:10 first pitch. They've got a little more than 30 minutes to get that set in. Mets minus 132, that is a 10-unit play. So, again, we are going Phillies, Blue Jays, and the Mets. All of them are at home. I think all of them are going to win tonight. So, with that out of the way, Catracho, there we go. Let's go over some of your soccer plays.
All right. Earlier today, we played some Champions League picks. We went 50% Real Madrid with a late winner against Atletico. The spread was minus 0.5 goals. And the other pick we had was Juventus, minus 0.5 as well. They did not need a win, so they secured a draw. Both teams are advancing to the next round of the Champions League, so we'll be looking to get some of those plays in as well for the next round. And then a late pick that we have for this evening is in the down in South America. Corinthians again going on the money line play, plus 245, playing against their rivals in Sao Paulo. So there's still time to get that pick in. Corinthians does not need a win to make it to the next round of the Libertadores down there. Sao Paulo is fighting for a win to secure second place and make it to the next round, but Corinthians has not lost to Sao Paulo in their last three games, so we'll look for that to continue and for them to put up another W in the series.
So with the two picks you won one, you lost one. What was the juice? Did you come out plus money, or did you take a little bit of a hit?
We took a little bit of a hit. Madrid was minus 105, and Juventus was plus 132. So we would have liked to hit on the Juventus pick, but we'll take a little bit of a hit going 50% on that.
Okay. So if someone's jumping on betdsi.eu right now and they're looking to make this play, they're going to go to soccer. And what is the league they're going to be selecting?
That is the Copa Libertadores.
Copa. There we go. Got it. See what our line is, what the line is at right now. All right, so we've got Corinthians plus 245 still sitting right there. So sounds good. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to put that one in for myself because I like those numbers. All right, so we've got some soccer action going. This weekend, you said that there are some more matches going on. Is there any match in particular you're waiting to see where the line moves, or is there anything you're eyeing up early on?
Yeah, we'll be taking a look at some of the Barclays Premier League coming up this weekend. We had some great, great matches in England last weekend with Aston Villa, who we had talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, fighting and making it to the finals of the FA Cup, beating Liverpool 2-1, as well as Arsenal advancing over Reading in extra time and making it to the final. So Arsenal will be defending their FA Cup championship, but that game is not until May 30th. So we've got some time to look at that, but we had locked in Aston Villa at, I believe it was plus 6-something to win that tournament. So that'll be a nice payout if they can come through for us. Some of the plays to take a look at right now, without looking at any of the spreads, Tottenham is playing Southampton. That would be a good play for Tottenham, who is fighting to make the Champions League next year. Liverpool playing against West Bromwich. We'd be looking for Liverpool to win that game, as they are also fighting to finish in the top of their league and make it to the Champions League next year as well. So those are two of the games we're looking at in the Premier League. We'll be tweeting out more as we get closer to Saturday.
Okay. And then where are we going from there after this weekend, soccer-wise? I know we were talking before that some of the European leagues are kind of coming to an end, but what are we taking a look at over the summer then?
Over the summer, we'll be taking a look down in South America with the Brazilian League, as well as here in the U.S., North America, with the MLS. So those are two of the leagues that will be, you know, in full swing as we get into the summer.
Now, with the MLS, what do you like to look for? Because I know a lot of people, you know, just kind of look at that as like the other sports league right now in the U.S., but, you know, MLS is getting big, and you're getting a lot of talent from all around the world coming over here. So what do you look for? Are there, like, different trends you look for there as opposed to some of the European leagues?
Right, yeah. We'd be looking at, I know we had touched on this before, down in South America, we'd be looking for those teams that are getting the big guys coming in, such as Orlando with Kaká. I mean, that was a big signing for them, and it has made an impact on, you know, how they've been playing recently to start the season. We got Steven Gerrard is going to be coming over to join the LA Galaxy, so that's another one to look for once, you know, he comes over and joins the team. Chicago, I mean, they're fighting right now, but they're not great. New York City FC, they had a couple big signings with David Villa. So, you know, that's what I take a look at first, is to kind of see how those big signings are playing a part on the team. I mean, Toronto had a lot of big signings, but right now they're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference table. So those are things to take a look at. Then we'll take a look at if any of those teams have been playing in any tournaments, such as the CONCACAF Champions League, which is the tournament between North and Central America. So we'll take a look at that, because a lot of the times the MLS teams will kind of rest their guys in the regular season MLS games in order to try to win that tournament. So those are things that we'll be taking a look at.
All right. I'm looking on DSI right now to see if we've got any soccer futures on here for MLS, and I'm not seeing anything. Is there a favorite to win the league this year?
You know, for the MLS, I would say favorite to win the league, you're always going to be looking at the LA Galaxy. You know, they tend to always get big names coming in there. You know, they've lost Beckham. They lost Donovan last year. But, like I said, they're getting Gerrard. They still have Robbie Keane. I mean, those are big guys. Seattle has kind of underperformed the last few seasons where they haven't made it to the championship. We'd still be looking for Clint Dempsey to make an impact there. Toronto, with the return of Jozy Altidore and Michael Bradley, you would think they'd be playing better than what they are right now. Once they get that situation straightened out, you might look for them to make a run. But overall, I'd probably be leaning on the New York Red Bulls and LA Galaxy.
All right. Well, I'm down for that. I'll be keeping an eye out on some future bets, and if and when we see something come through, we will get that out to everybody. So, on to the NBA, where we have just about, I think, all the series have played two games, or no, we've got a couple game twos tonight. And then starting tomorrow, we are on to game threes. Let's do a little bit of a recap first. We've got Cleveland, Chicago, Golden State, Houston. All of them are up two games to none. We also have Washington up two games to zero. However, they won both of their games on the road as opposed to the other teams that won everything at home. What has been the biggest surprise to you through the first couple of games here in this first round of the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest surprises has probably been Memphis, how well they've been performing. You know, I thought Portland would be putting up a bigger fight than what they did in that first game. So that was kind of interesting to see Memphis run away with that one. The other surprise I would probably say is how Boston has been keeping it really close with Cleveland. Now, I know that's one where we had both said that we felt that Boston would probably steal a game. So with the way they've been playing, it looks like, you know, our foresight might be coming true, but that's a pretty big thing, as well as the Bulls, you know, being able to fight through when Milwaukee looks like they're getting close. You know, the Bulls have been able to pull away, so that's another big one. On the West Coast, just the way Golden State's been running with it, I know that's one that we had predicted as being a sweep. I think that might have been one of the only ones we predicted as being a sweep. So just watching those games and kind of seeing how our predictions are coming out, it looks like we're pretty good right now as we speak.
So now that we've got these game threes coming up starting tomorrow, you've got Boston, Milwaukee, and New Orleans. All of them are down 0-2. They're at home. All of them are underdogs. Is this a spot where you say, I think one or two of these teams is going to win game three? Because personally, I think for the underdogs, you have a better chance winning game three and spoiling the sweep than you have winning game four and spoiling the sweep. A lot of adrenaline hitting you in that first home playoff game. So I'm kind of expecting if it's going to happen, it's going to happen in game three. Would you advise to throwing down a small play on each of the money lines, just saying, rolling the dice and saying, I think two of these three teams are going to win?
Yeah, I think that would probably be a good idea. Like we said, we'd pick the underdog. I think game three, when you're heading home, is probably where you're going to have the most momentum, especially for a team like Boston. You know, they played so well against Cleveland last night, you know, where it was a two-point game for most of the game, and then, you know, Cleveland won by eight, but I believe the spread was 11.5 or 12. So, I mean, I would look for them to really make some noise in that game and get it done heading home.
Yeah, I like Boston. But, you know, on the flip side in this game, I also like taking LeBron with when he's not laying a lot of points. And if this one he's laying 4.5, yeah, it's a tough call on this one right now. I may actually think, because it looks like there might be a lot of money coming down in Boston. I may be buying Boston at 4.5, waiting to see if it goes down, and then buying back Cleveland maybe at 3.5. Maybe it gets all the way down to 3. I highly doubt the Cavs would go down that low, but you never know right now. And especially Boston, the way they did play those first two games, good chance that people could just be throwing a lot of money down on them since they are coming home. Now, the other games tomorrow. So Boston, 4.5-point underdogs at home. We also have the Bulls are 3-point favorites in Milwaukee. And, there's some value there, I think, although I'm not willing to trust the Bulls as a road favorite right there. So, you know, I think that would probably be a really good spot just to take Milwaukee at the +130, try to get a little bit of money out of it. Then the last game, we've got Golden State, New Orleans. Golden State, 5-point favorites on the road. I think that 5 is kind of significant. Because if linemakers really thought that New Orleans had a chance to win, I feel like it would have been 4 or less. So, we talked about Golden State having the sweep opportunity or having the best chance to sweep. You know, 5 points might be – this might be a good hedge, and you'd leave yourself a little exposed. But if you want to take Golden State at -5, then take New Orleans at +180. You know, as long as New Orleans wins outright, you're making money. And if Golden State wins by 5 or more, then you're at least breaking even. I don't think that's a bad way to go. However, you are leaving yourself exposed with those five points in between. So you got to be kind of careful if you're going to go that way. Now, the 203 is the point total. I like the over in that. Golden State has been they didn't play as well offensively the first two games. I think they're going to get out of their home court and really go and start to hit down some of these shots and really start to make a statement offensively against the Pelicans. So I'm thinking that 203 is really low, and I kind of like the fact that the first two games went under. The first game went under by the actual consensus play, but went over the early line. Over on the early line, so I think 203 could be too low. I'll be looking to go over on that one. Let's get to tonight's games, though. We have 3 games. Looks like we've got 1 in the East, 2 in the West. The first one, Brooklyn-Atlanta. Atlanta, 9-point favorites at home. This line actually opened at about 9.5 or even 10. So there's a little bit of a Brooklyn buy-down after their Game 1 success that they had. Although they ended up losing, they did cover a pretty healthy 11-point spread. Over-under 203. I'm not willing to trust the point totals in this one because I think both teams play a lot better offense than they play defense. So 203 seems a little low. You and I discussed it earlier. We don't like the 9, but we are willing to drop -5.5 for the first half line. Has your thoughts changed on that at all, picking Atlanta in the first half?
No, it has not. You know, I was able to review the regular season matchups between the two teams. Atlanta beat them by double digits each time. You know, things change when they get into the playoffs. One of the big things that I noticed looking over the box score last game was Paul Millsap kind of being, you know, under his season averages for both points and rebounds. So I would look for him to kind of have a bigger game. It looked like, you know, everybody with Brooklyn that you would expect to have a good game had a good game. So I don't expect anything really out of Brooklyn in this one. So the first half play is, I believe, the safest bet. And then, you know, Atlanta might lay off the gas in the second half, kind of like they did last game as well. And you'll see Brooklyn kind of sneak in there and, you know, get it down to that 9 points. But I definitely like the first half play.
I like how you put that, too, that Brooklyn's players basically played as well as they can play in that first game. So it's hard to imagine them coming out and being able to back that one up for a second game, especially early on. I look for Atlanta, like you said, to try to put this one away in the first half so they can kind of coast. So Atlanta, -5.5 in the first half. That is an official play. Right now the juice is at -105, so you're getting a little better than a regular payout on that one at -110. So I like that. We also did go over 101.5, I believe. I'm checking that right now. I'm sorry. We went over 201.5, which was one of the early lines for the point total. Right now it's up to 203. I don't think I like going over 203. And I know when you're only talking about a point and a half, it shouldn't mean that much. But it just kind of ran up too fast, and I don't trust it. I don't trust either team to play a full game and to offensively be able to do enough in this game. So I like 201.5. Don't necessarily like 203. That'd be a pass. However, if you do want to jump in on a little bit of action on the point totals in this one, you can always take the first half over, which is 101.5. That one, I think, is still in a good spot. Do you think Brooklyn has what it takes to put this game over 101.5 in the first half?
Yeah, I think it's a good possibility that they could do that in the first half. You know, taking a look at that game, again, we see it finished at 191, you know, for the game. So, and for the first half, let's see.
First half, they were hitting it. Like, they were putting up
I think
the
it
first
was,
half.
I think it finished at 98 for the first half.
Okay.
45
so the second half
was
started to fall off a little bit.
Well, it finished at 100 even for the first half. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So it's a possibility they could hit
that.
That
one out?
I did have to get the calculator. So, you know, it's a good possibility that they could come out. You know, Kyle Korver had a great game and a great first half. You know, DeMar Carroll, Al Horford, Jeff Teague, those guys all had good games. So, I just think Atlanta has too much for Brooklyn to really make any, you know, headway in the series, but especially in this game with Atlanta playing at home, you know, they came out to a monster lead that first game, 32-20 in the first quarter. So I look forward to continue.
All right. Then we've got Portland at Memphis. I think a lot of people were surprised by how poorly Portland played in that first game. Not just from a standpoint that they lost by double digits or right around double digits, but I felt that their offense was going to be able to come out and do a lot more. What did you see in that game that's kind of scaring you off of Portland right now?
I think it was just how well, you know, Memphis kind of dominated that game. You know, they came out to a big, you know, 10-point lead, then increased it another 9 points in that second quarter. So, they just had a big first half, and Portland never really recovered. You know, Marc Gasol, Zach Randolph, those guys are always going to have big games. You know, they've got a lot of extra people on the team this year, too, with Jeff Green and Vince Carter. So those are a couple offensive weapons that Memphis didn't have in the past that they do have now. And I think, you know, they just kind of overwhelmed Portland with their defense. So, you know, you look at Portland's team, besides Aldridge and Damian Lillard and Batum, they don't really have a lot of offensive firepower because Wesley Matthews is out for the rest of the season. So when it comes down to the playoffs, that's where, you know, you miss those guys the most are the ones that can put in some extra buckets when you need it. So I think that's the biggest issue is that Portland really doesn't have enough scoring heading into the playoffs, and Memphis being the defensive team that they are will take advantage of that.
Do you think we should have paid a little more attention to the fact that Portland played in the only division in the West that had one playoff team in it?
You know,
that's
probably something.
Some of the lesser talent out West all season.
Right. I think that's something we probably could have taken a look at, especially because even though they won their division, you know, they don't have home court advantage. So that's probably something we probably should have paid a little more attention to, because Memphis is a team that has been there before. So, you know, they're going to take advantage of whatever opportunities they can. And right now they're really taking advantage of the fact that Portland doesn't have enough firepower.
Now, 192 is the point total. 6 is the line. Memphis minus 6, are you liking that? Or do you want to wait and see over the next hour before tip-off if that moves a little bit?
Yeah, I'd probably wait another hour. I don't think it'll end up moving too much. I do like that Memphis minus 6. The over-under, I don't really care too much for. I think Memphis is a team that, you know, they don't try to score too many points themselves. They really milk the shot clock, and they'll really make you work for your points on the offensive end as well. So I think it's safer to go under with that one, but I'd like the spread more than anything at that minus 6.
Yeah, the point total, it's at that awkward spot, low 190s, where it feels like the game should go well under that, but, you know, it just takes a couple of small bursts in one of the early quarters to really blow up 192. So, yeah, I agree with you staying away from that one. Right now, Portland, the juice is at minus 115, so that might be moving a little bit in Portland's favor. And if you can get Memphis at minus 5.5 at tip-off, I think that's a good play. Yeah, I'll tweet that one out if we decide to go with that one. But right now it's a lean. I think it could easily become an official play, though. Finally, the last game tonight, which I will not be staying awake for, San Antonio at the Clippers. It is a 10:35 Eastern tip-off, so it's well past my bedtime. But the Spurs, 2-point underdogs, and it looks like that might be moving even higher. A little bit of money is coming in on the Clippers right now. Point total is at 206.5. You got a feeling on this one? I mean, the Spurs really kind of fell on their face in game one. I think a lot of people were expecting them to come out and show that they still had all the veteran leadership in the world, but that didn't happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Clippers are coming out with something to prove. So a lot of people were down on them, so they kind of came, you know, out swinging in that game, which was surprising. I still like San Antonio in the series. You know, they've had other games and other series in the past where they've come from behind. Last year, you know, they went 7 games in the first round of the playoffs against the Mavericks, where it looked like they were down and they weren't going to make it out. So I think I like San Antonio to win this game. That's just more of a gut feeling. I wouldn't necessarily say that I would lock that in for anyone, but I still think that San Antonio will steal one on the road and then go home and look to extend their series lead.
Now, those two games, Portland-Memphis, San Antonio Clipper, and the Clippers, we've got Memphis 3.5-point favorites in the first half, Clippers 1-point favorites in the first half. San Antonio, L.A., over 100 for the first half, and Portland, Memphis, point total 95.5 for the first half. Do any of those four plays do anything for you?
Yeah, I could see San Antonio and the Clippers getting over 100, it is, you said, for the first half. I could see that being a pretty good play. You know, they were both right around 50 points last game. So you never really know if San Antonio is going to be looking to slow it down or if they're going to be looking to speed it up. We always know the Clippers are going to be playing at a fast pace. So I think that one is a better bet than the Portland-Memphis first half. But you never really know how San Antonio is going to react in that first half. So I think those first half plays are probably ones I'd stay away from.
Okay, yeah, I thought it's interesting that San Antonio line is at 100 when the overall game is at 206.5. It just seemed like there was a, you know, usually you see it pretty much split down the middle, but that one just seems a little low given the overall point total. But you're right, yeah, San Antonio, I just can't trust how well they're going to come out and play early on in this game. And I think the teams really do a good job putting up some points in the second half as opposed to early on. So, with that said, that takes care of our NBA night. I want you to give me all of you. And let's turn that down. I don't know what happened there. But let's go on to a little bit of horse racing, because we do have the Kentucky Derby. So let's take a look at least all of the horses out there. Next week, I think we can discuss a little more in depth about who we like, our plays. But let's pull this up. So we've got the favorite is American Pharoah paying 3-1. We have Carpe Diem paying plus 625, Dortmund plus 465, and it looks like who's next here? We've got Mubatage, or I don't even know how to pronounce that one. Plus, he's basically paying 10-1 right here. So that's the top four. We've got quite a few in here. You don't know this early how many of them, you know, may get scratched at some point. I've been looking a little bit at American Pharoah and Carpe Diem. Do you have any kind of insight, or what are you looking for in a horse when you're betting one of these big races?
Yeah, I'd be looking more along the lines of, you know, what had they done over the past races that they competed against. A lot of serious guys will take a look at, you know, who the parents of the horse are. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration, the weather, whether it's going to be, you know, a rainy day, so how they've performed on wet tracks in the past, muddy tracks, or if it's going to be a nice day. Also, I mean, there's a lot of different races that take place, whether it's on grass or on the dirt. So those are always things to take into consideration to see how they've performed on those previous events.
International Star is sitting at 23-1 right now. If you go on the Kentucky Derby website, they've got the season rankings and their point totals for all of the horses. International Star is number one. Do you think there's any value in taking a total point system and getting, if you can get a horse at 23-1 jumping on it right now?
Yeah, I mean, you can see what you can do. That'd be an amazing payout if you were to be able to come out on top on something like that. Looking on our preferred site, BetDSI, they have a lot of Kentucky Derby head-to-head matchups. So these are something to take into account as well. So, yeah, I like, you know, larger odds is something that we always like, especially plus money plays. So 23-1, I mean, that would be a great payout if you were to win it, but you never really know until you've done your homework what to expect with the horse racing.
I really liked last year I was doing a lot of the head-to-heads, and I came out plus money at the end of it, which was pretty nice. But there's a couple of really good wagers I think you can make. For one, you can get Carpe Diem at plus 118 to beat out Dortmund. So, you know, if you start capping some of these really, you know, the top of the front of the pack type of horses, and you start to see a little bit of a trend, you know, you can really clean up. And the nice thing is the horse doesn't have to win. It just has to beat out the one other horse. So, you know, I like being able to go and do that. International Star over Materiality, plus 140. So decent payouts there. Now, with the Derby, and you made a good point, and this is why I don't think betting it this early makes a whole lot of sense. We've seen the track kind of torn up a few times over the last couple of years now, and it's been a little sloppy at times as well. Given a lot of these horses are pretty young and there may not be that much of good data to use, how much do you think you can really put into like how they've run on sloppy tracks, given how little we know about a lot of these horses?
Yeah, I think how they run on sloppy tracks really does kind of come into play when you're making your final selections. But right now, I think it's a little too early to really secure anything. I do like some of the, you know, bigger favorites right now. Looking at DSI, we have American Pharoah at plus 300. You know, those are good odds for such a heavy favorite. So right now, everything is plus money. But like you said, one of the big things is you do want to take a look at how they've performed on tracks that have been torn up, or, you know, even when the weather's bad and it's been a muddy track. You do want to take that into consideration before you secure any type of bet.
What do you look to do when you're doing like a trifecta or anything like that? Are you looking to do a couple different ones, or are you going to pick your best three and box them?
I'd pick my best three and box them. You know, if that goes well, then we'll see where it goes from there. And sometimes I've done trifectas on each race. So, I mean, it all depends on how the first one goes, if I'm getting in the next one.
Now, the biggest question of the day, where are you going to be watching the Derby from?
I will probably be watching it from home, but I could be swayed to go to the track here in Illinois as well. So we'll be trying to plan that as they get a little closer and see what the weather's like, because things aren't that great in Chicago as we speak.
Well, you're always welcome to come down to Tampa, because I will be at Tampa Bay Downs watching the race from there. They've got it up on the Jumbotron. And the nice thing is you can go get a full day of racing, live racing, and then you know, they shut everything down and show the Derby on the big screen out in the infield. So it'll be a good day out there. Hopefully the weather holds up so I can spend it all outside before it gets muggy as hell and can't spend the rest of the summer outdoors. But all right, so we're gonna go over that next week. Let's have our top winners. And then we're both going to pick a trifecta, and we'll make those some official plays for the Derby. We also had some big news this week. Yesterday, the NFL schedule was dropped and for 2015. Most people would probably say it's not a big deal. However, the big deal about it is now you can start planning and mapping out your NFL season, which I like to do before. So I want to get every game out there. I want to see how each team is kind of, given what we know about their roster at this point, and then given what we know about their roster after the draft, you know, I like to match them up and kind of see where the value is, because that's how you're going to build your win totals and see where the value is on that board. Right now, we don't have, you know, we do have some odds out there that you could be jumping in on for the Super Bowl. You know, overall, I don't really see I don't see a whole lot of value jumping in on the win-loss records this early, and I don't think we can really even find too many of them right now. None of them are on BetDSI, but at what point will you start looking at the NFL season?
Yeah, I think after the draft, see if, you know, there's any type of player movement. We still don't know what's going on with Adrian Peterson, where he might possibly end up. You know, that could sway a lot of different things, you know, as far as the favorite is concerned in the division or in a conference. So I still think there's, you know, stuff to take into consideration. I usually wait until after a couple preseason games before I'll take anything in and secure it. So for me, I, you know, always err on the side of caution when I'm making my season predictions.
Yeah, the worst thing that could happen is somebody breaking bones or tearing ligaments during the preseason, and then, you know, you can't get out of the bet. Right now, we've seen some action, but not a whole lot. The Seahawks are still favored to win at plus 485. You can get the Patriots at plus 850, the Packers at plus 725. So there's some decent odds out there. I really want to see the draft this year. I feel like it's a very deep draft class, and you could have a lot of guys that are making an impact from day one. There should be a lot of guys that are really NFL ready. So I want to wait and see where these guys shake out to. I can start building my rosters and grading my rosters and knowing where some value is. We also have, and I didn't have a chance to touch on this yet, but right now you can get Ohio State to win the NCAA college football playoff at plus 450. Given the guys that they're returning, especially at the quarterback position, do you see there to be a reason not to jump on Ohio State right now before that number possibly goes down?
I do not see a reason not to jump on that. I think especially as we get closer to, you know, the season and looking at spring football, I see no reason why we wouldn't want to jump on Ohio State as we speak. You know, I didn't pay too much attention to the draft class that they had coming in. I mean, sorry, the incoming freshman class that they had or any transfers. But like you said, returning those three quarterbacks, I mean, that's a huge deal, especially with the way they, you know, were able to recover after each one went down and win a championship with a third-string quarterback.
Trying to find if I can get a grade on their incoming freshman class right now. Looks like we might have one here. All right, on footballoutsiders.com, they don't have it. So I'll keep checking back on here. Last year I was able to find a nice projection of their S&P ratings for college football, and it was a I think it was a post-spring game rating that they did. So they had a lot of the freshmen graded and everything in there. So we'll keep a look on that one. Once that gets released, we'll go over those numbers on one of the upcoming shows. So that's it for me. That's everything I wanted to touch on. Do you have any pointers for tonight's action or for last-minute soccer action?
Not as of right now. Like I said, we'll be tweeting out some more soccer picks as we get closer to the weekend. If anyone forgot, we did talk about Corinthians, locking that in at the beginning of the show at plus 245, and that's all I have for this evening.
All right, and just in case you guys did miss it, most of the games have tipped off that we are getting in on today. But one last time, our lineup is looking like this. Brooklyn, Atlanta, over 201.5 if you were lucky enough to get in before it moved up. Philadelphia, minus 128 on the diamond. That one is first pitch has already taken place. Blue Jays, minus 109. Hawks, minus 5.5. In the first half against Brooklyn, and then finally the Mets minus 132 on the diamond. One more that we kind of discussed earlier today. Tomorrow we are going Golden State and the Pelicans over 203. I think this line's already up to 204, so if you guys can get it in there, great. If not, buy down that half point, get it at 203.5. So for Catracho, for the Red Light Sports Network, and for Cover That Spread, I am J.A. Good luck this weekend gambling, guys, and may the spread be forever in your favor.